Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Red hot comic book movie news, shooting up your butthole. The Weekly Planet, The Weekly Planet.
Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of The Weekly Planet, official podcast of comicbookmovie.com, where we talk movies and comics and TV shows and sometimes Entourage, but never again.
Never again, sir, unless there is some sort of Sex and the City 2 Entourage 2 sequel.
Oh, my God.
Well, they go to Saudi Arabia, and then they show all them bros how it's done.
Yes.
They run that town, and then they're all executed, like by beheading, probably.
That would make a lot of money, probably more than the first one.
It'd make more from me, certainly, because I'd watch that multiple times.
That would probably be critically acclaimed. It'd be like they got their comeuppance.
Finally, exactly, yeah.
That would be amazing. My name is Mr.
And maybe there's somebody reading out a long list of charges before they're executed. For having no charisma.
For being the boring one, but not as boring as the other boring one.
Correct. Yeah.
Anyway, my name is James, also known as Mr. Sunday. With me as always, my co-host, Nick Mason.
It's me.
Should we get into the news?
Love news.
You probably heard about Jurassic World. We talked about it last week.
Yes.
Both of us enjoyed it.
Yes, it was a good movie.
It was a bit kind of like, it's divisive, I would say, more positive than negative, but it had the biggest US opening of all time with $209 million. Don't know what that is in euro. Get your calculator. Okay, get your currency calculator. I'm not going to carry with you.
Oh, God, I do. I'll look it up. I'm going to look it up while we're talking, but rest assured, I'm definitely still listening to something.
Right, so...
So what did that beat out?
It beat out the Avengers.
Yep.
Age of Ultron...
What did the Avengers beat out?
I don't know.
Avatar or something?
Probably, yeah.
Yeah, one of those.
Yeah, Avatar, I don't know about Avatar's opening weekend. I think Harry Potter might have been before that, the Deathly Hallows.
Okay, yep, that
couldn't
makes
tell
sense.
You, to be honest. So yeah, it beat it by a couple of million, and Marvel were pretty good about it. They said that you saw that picture that they sent.
Yeah, they were very congratulatory.
Congratulatory.
Little Chris Pratt on a Tyrannosaurus Rex wielding Thor's hammer.
I think he was regular sized Chris Pratt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Just.
But I mean, not on like a phone screen. He was very.
He would have been, wouldn't he?
It's 184 million. Euro.
Good. So, yeah. That's at the time of recording this, by the way.
Yeah.
So if you're listening to it in the future or the past.
Currency rates will have changed.
Definitely.
Exchange rates, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, good.
Good you pointed that out. Otherwise we'd get letters in a few years.
So what do you think this has succeeded?
It's nostalgia value, certainly.
Yeah.
But that wouldn't work if the movie was terrible.
Correct.
I feel.
RoboCop. Though I didn't mind RoboCop.
Yeah, exactly. It's a different thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But well, Jurassic Park also... People forget was the biggest movie of all time before Avatar.
Yes.
So it'd make sense that this would do numbers, you know, close to that or whatever or more, obviously. Mm. I think nostalgia, yes. But I think also when you put in someone like Chris Pratt.
Yes.
Who they timed that perfectly. Like, I'm sure.
He's the king of Hollywood.
Exactly.
And I mean, Marvel sent that congratulatory message, but he's in Marvel movies as well.
Exactly.
It's not, you know.
Exactly. So it's... I mean, look, and who knows, the stars rise and fall as they were, but he's like, I don't know if he's peaked.
Yeah, check the Chris Pratt exchange rate in a few years. Maybe he might be doing
what so
good.
What is he in euro? Yeah. Mm. But no, that's great. He's really good in that movie as well. Mm. Do you think that, what do you think could be the next thing to beat that other than Avatar 2, which won't beat it?
It's a really good question.
I think there's only one thing with more nostalgia value which could beat it, and it's coming
Entourage
this year.
2.
Yes. Entourage 2, they're all beheaded.
Yes. Now, what are you talking about?
Star Wars.
Oh, yeah. Okay, that'll probably do it.
And
yeah.
Also, Star Wars has the advantage of opening with nothing around it. Like Mission Impossible 5 was moved. Like, wisely.
Because that looked... scared.
Yeah.
They were running scared.
Of course, though. Like, fair enough, though.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
That looks good. I'd see both, but Star Wars would crush Mission Impossible.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I think Star Wars has a shot. But, you know, it remains to be seen.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. What about, like... Anyway, I was going to say, we'll talk about Batman v Superman in a minute, because I got some news on that.
Oh, good.
We'll come back to that.
We've gone a long time without Batman v Superman news.
We have, haven't we?
I'm glad it's back, but not really.
Matthew Vaughn says that they're working on a Hit Girl / Big Daddy Kick-Ass prequel. And then after that, they're going to go and hopefully make Kick-Ass 3, because he thinks a prequel will kind of restore people's faith in the series. Because a lot of people weren't wrapped with 2.
I found it a bit unpleasant, yeah.
Well, I got an email here from Sean. He wants to know what we think of the Kick-Ass movies. And specifically you and what you thought of part 2. Because we've sort of talked about it. Did we do an episode on it?
Yeah, we did an episode on it.
Yeah.
You can go back to that. But the long story short is, look, I didn't mind the first one. I thought it was kind of fun. I thought Nicolas Cage was great and Chloe Moretz.
Yeah.
And the other guy's fine. But the other one, the second one, I'm like, ooh, it's a bit unpleasant.
Yeah.
Like, it's generally, like, there's... There was a lot of, hey, we're ruffling a lot of feathers because we're so...
subversive
kind of thing.
Yeah.
But at the same time, they were just buying, and they were like, oh, we're commenting on, you know, comic books in a meta way because we're so cool. But then it'd fall into all the same tropes.
Yeah, that's
true. And there was a lot of, you know...
Sincere speeches.
Yeah, there was a lot of melodramatic sincere speeches about being who you are and doing what your legacy promises or whatever. And
nobody said, remember that jetpack and pointed that out from the first one.
Yeah, correct.
I think that should have been addressed, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Remember that time you bought a jetpack with machine guns on the internet? Oh, last week I asked people to email in and tweet in.
I've got
best mini guns in movies.
Well, I can talk about that now.
Yeah.
I got an email from Connor.
Yep.
He's pointed out a couple. He talked about the Predator one, which we talked about, but he also says Robocop 2.
Robocop 2 has a minigun,
Mounted to his battering ram arm. And District 9, an MNU soldier briefly fires a minigun at Wickus when he's in the exosuit.
Don't remember it.
Any of those ring a bell?
The
ring a ding ding.
Ring a ding, precisely, yes.
Any others?
The Matrix, there's one mounted on a helicopter.
That's a good one.
It's pretty good. The scene is pretty good, but he shoots a whole bunch of agents. They all come back up. They're all alive again.
So, but it tears apart that room.
Yeah, that's true. That's pretty fun. It's most you can hope for. It's very rare to see somebody shot with a minigun in a movie.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Because they just disintegrate.
Yeah,
pieces. Which is what I want to see.
What about...
A lot of people said Rambo 2008.
I was going to say, great that's scene, not a minigun.
Not a minigun. It's a Browning M2.
Yeah. Know your bloody guns, mate.
Yeah.
That is a good scene. Mm. I think someone also pointed out Rhodey in Iron Man 2 with his...
That's CGI, though.
Okay, fair enough.
Don't like it.
So those are the rules.
Looks pretty. It looks pretty solid, but it's not, yeah.
So that's Mason's minigun minutes.
It's minigun minutes. So anyway, Kick-Ass 2.
Yep.
And there's weird, like, there's about that, you know, it's too cool for school, but also the weird, sincere or whatever.
Yep.
There's no consequences to violence except when there's heaps of consequence to violence. Like his dad is strangled to death in a jail cell.
Oh yeah, I remember that.
But there's also like that weird attempted rape scene, which is supposed to be hilarious.
When's that?
Of Kick-Ass's girlfriend,
right.
by what's his face?
I forgot, McLovin.
Yeah, by McLovin. And then they're like, and then he can't get it up, so that's hilarious, right? But then he's like, then he goes to his henchman, hurt her real bad or whatever.
Yeah.
And then she's just in hospital and she's got like a couple of little scrapes on her or whatever. But like other people are getting cut in half and all sorts,
I think he gets all his limbs bitten off at the end.
Yeah, exactly.
By a shark or something.
Anyway, it's weird and I don't like it. So prequel movie,
They're going to have to, I think they said they're going to have to recast Hit Girl.
Hit Girl, obviously. Yeah, exactly.
That's what I...
Do you think the prequel could just be like Nicolas Cage in his Big Daddy costume with like a baby Bjorn on his back? And they don't have to recast, it's just like a dummy baby.
Absolutely.
And he just runs around, yeah.
Yeah.
And he's always leaving on the roofs of cars and stuff that he's been leaping on. That would make sense.
They could definitely get Nick Cage back for that.
Oh, absolutely. He'll do anything. He'll do literally any film.
I think he did Season of the Witch. I don't know whether it's called that.
Uh-huh.
With Hayden Christensen.
Oh, yeah.
So, if that's any indication.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Oh, here's a bit of news.
Okay.
You might have this, but maybe not because it's not really news. It's kind of dumb. Arnold Schwarzenegger pranks fans at Madame Tussauds, posing as a Terminator waxwork.
See, I'd be worried. If I went up to that, I'd be like, oh, they really got how old he looks now.
They really got how old and haggard he looks. This must be real fresh because he looks like garbage. Did Did they just get a big sack of garbage out of the dumpster out the back and sort of mold it with
press
wires?
Press it into a
vaguely man-sized shape. And then he moves and you're like, oh, my nightmares.
Yeah, did you enjoy that?
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Look, I know he's like a scumbag and all that kind of thing, but he's so charismatic, isn't he?
Yeah, yeah. Well, they probably cut out all the scenes. They probably cut out
the groping.
The groping, and there was probably people going, oh, he looks so old and gross, and then just Schwarzenegger just puts out a cigar in their eye or whatever, you know?
Yeah. Mm. He's doing a good job at promoting that film. A lot of people are looking forward to it now.
Yeah, me too.
This and James Cameron coming out going, hey, guys, I like it. James Cameron. Remains to be seen, but... Oh, there was a TV spot where it's like, better than you expect. The twist is not what you'd expect also. And it's like, you know, like quotes, but it's they're both like James Cameron.
Right, okay, sure.
So, yeah. Mm. But no, I hope
it's James
good.
Cameron, can you say these exact words?
Better than you'd expect.
Yep.
Just on the subject of Kick-Ass, can I quickly jump back?
Yes.
I'd be very surprised if they end up making both of these.
The prequel and the
Because Kick-Ass
the
2 made, like, no money.
Right, exactly.
Anyway, we'll see.
Yeah, and I think a little bit that the time has passed for non-big league superhero movies.
Okay.
Like, I mean, you know, Kick-Ass is an actual comic book property, yeah. But it doesn't have the weight of, like, the Marvel juggernaut
no,
kind of thing.
The juggernaut from Marvel.
The actual character,
the literal
the
weight of him.
Yeah, yeah. Precisely. It doesn't okay, have good. That. You know, but and I don't think, you know, knockoffs and cheap stuff, I think it's going to fly. I think people want the huge budget Marvel stuff.
Absolutely. Mm. Or DC. Mm. Or the Image of Universe? They should make Invincible. I haven't talked about that in a while. I love Invincible.
Yeah.
They won't. Channing Tatum will not appear in X-Men Apocalypse, but Hubert Jackman will.
Oh, Australia's own Hubert Jackman. Yes. Excellent.
You cool with that?
Yeah.
But Rupert Wyatt, who directed The Rise of the Planet of the Apes, he's going to do the Gambit solo movie, which is out October of next year.
And that's going to be Channing Tatum. And
boy, is it.
Okay, great.
So, yeah.
Excellent.
Cool with all that?
Yeah, really good.
Yeah.
But it would be, you know, they do kind of have to tie, if it's an X-Men movie set in the 80s with all, you know, pretty much all recast characters.
Yeah.
They've got to sort of tie it together.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
With a Hubert Jackman.
Do you think the Gambit movie will be set in the present day? What do you want to see? A breakdancing 80s
no,
Channing
I don't,
Tatum
I don't want to see, No, I don't
Gambit.
Want to see that. No, I want to see, I would like, I reckon... Whatever the Wolverine,
yeah,
like whatever that time period is, like slightly in the future. I think it should be that.
Okay, sure.
Yeah, because I like that.
That vague.
Yeah.
So a future where you've still got trains, but you've also got robot samurai.
Robot samurai and evil villainesses with vague powers.
And pretty good animatronic bears.
Yes. Yeah.
That were supposed to be a real bear.
Oh.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, I think they're going to have to do a time jump in X-Men at some point. Because otherwise they're just going to set them all in the 80s from now on.
They'll have to, won't they?
Yeah. So maybe a time machine, maybe some kind of shift in dimensions or some shit. I don't know.
I think they're just going to set the one after this in modern times.
Yeah.
And not
mention
it at all.
Because they've just got 60s, 70s, 80s.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who cares?
They're jumping a decade every movie.
Yeah. I feel that's the classic Marvel. Like, just change the continuity, don't say anything.
Yeah, you're right.
Just
yeah.
let people deal with it. If it's a good movie, it's going to stand on its own. If it's not, it's X-Men Origins Wolverine.
American Gods. Have you read that?
I do. I have. I'm a big fan.
Good. Well,
we actually recommended the audiobook back that one time when we had
You recommended
yeah,
it.
Yeah, back when that one time we had an Audible sponsorship.
That's right.
Yeah. Or whatever it was. I don't know.
We might be getting... I say this every few weeks. We might be getting sponsorship at some point soon.
Great.
But I don't know. Have to sort that out, don't I?
I'm making the greedy McGreedy.
He's got his Euro calculator ready
yeah,
as well.
Yeah, that's right. I'm gonna buy all kinds of bitcoins. It's not true.
So yeah, the TV series of American Gods though has been greenlit.
Yes,
for Stars.
Excellent.
Brian Fuller and Michael Green show running. Brian Fuller did Hannibal.
Yep.
Michael Green did Kings, which I'm not familiar with.
No. I like Hannibal.
Yeah, I know you're a big fan.
Wait, the movies or the TV show?
I presume in the TV show.
TV show's great.
You'd hope
it's coming
so.
Back soon, I think.
I got to watch that.
Might even be tonight it's coming back.
Might even be... Really? Check.
Maybe. I will.
You're going to have to close that Euro calculator out.
I never will. I need live update. I need live currency updates at all times.
Well, while you're doing that, you'll be happy to know that Neil Gaiman will be executive producer.
It's already three episodes in.
You're too busy looking at your calculator.
Too busy looking at my bloody...
You want to know what boobs is in euros.
Yeah. Shell oil. That's another one.
Yeah, it's a good one. Yeah, this has been in development for years. They've been talking about it. And I think with The Walking Dead, you know, doing really well and not being that good.
Uh-huh.
And it seems more Game of Thrones than Walking Dead, I guess, in terms of... I haven't read it, so I couldn't tell you.
Oh, well, it's American Gods is set sort of now-ish.
Yeah, yeah.
Like in the modern day.
Yeah.
I mean,
in terms of like consequences and... Oh, no, because the comics of Walking Dead has a lot of consequences.
Oh, I see. Right.
I don't know, man. So does the show. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't like that show that much. Anyway, go on. What were you saying?
Where are we going with this?
What's modern day? Is it like Game of Thrones?
No, it's not like Game of Thrones at all.
There you go.
No.
You heard it here first.
Yep. There's a lot more gods. By that, I mean any gods.
There's gods in Game of Thrones.
Yes.
We'll get to that, Mason. Okay, cool. Right. Next week. Maybe this week.
Okay, let's maybe so do it this go. Week. Yeah.
So it's been confirmed that Marvel and Sony are definitely not coming to Comic-Con. We kind of knew that.
We did, yeah.
Josh Wilding, who writes for comicbookmovie.com, our favorite website,
mm-hmm.
other than hotmail.com.
You know what? They deleted my Hotmail account.
Who's
I
they?
Had one back in the day. I don't know. Mysterious dark forces. But I had one. And then bloody, I went to like check it and they deleted it.
Can
like,
I say what your Hotmail address was?
No, we'll do it another
okay,
time.
Okay, cool. Because yeah. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, it's fun, but yeah, it was another good. Time.
All right, cool.
Yeah. If you can guess it, listeners, send me an email. You'll never bloody, all right.
So it's gone.
Yeah.
There you go. Mm. This is kind of like that'll teach you for leaving us.
Yeah.
Nick Mason. Josh Wilding pointed out, anyway, who writes for Comic Book Movie, great dude. If the Amazing Spider-Man series was still going, they would have been turning up. Sony would have been turning up to promote the Sinister Six.
Yeah, that's true.
Isn't that weird?
Mm.
Imagine if we were trapped in that dimension.
Ooh.
Where the weird Jamie Foxx, Electro, and Paul Giamatti, Rhino.
Yeah.
They're good actors, but... What was that?
Yeah, that's what I've been saying. I've been saying that for years.
For the year since it's been out.
You know what? Yeah, yeah. But we could have gone to Comic-Con and had like, there could have been like an origin booth, like an Amazing Spider-Man origin booth where it's
get your origins.
It's just the basement of the Oscorp building and you just stand there and...
They give you a backpack with wings or octopus arms.
It's scorpion tail, something like that.
Pour a cup of sand in your mouth.
Exactly.
Whatever.
Mm.
Yeah. That's great. The Time Warner CEO, Jeff Bewkes, B-E-W-K-E-S.
Burgers.
Burgers. Yep. Claimed that...
Boogers. Got him. Continue.
Claimed that apparently he's told investors that there is no more anticipated movie set for release next year.
Oh, here we go.
Than Batman v Superman.
No, that's fair.
Okay.
Because we will be getting a Star Wars...
Anthology
yeah. movie, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So
Rogue One.
Ragu One.
Boogers One.
Gotcha, Lucasfilm. No, I'd say that's fair.
Yeah.
We've not seen them team up before.
Yep.
On screen.
So. Look, I don't think it's my most anticipated movie.
What is your most anticipated movie?
X-Men Apocalypse.
Really?
No.
That's not true. Yeah.
X-Men Gambit Origins.
Oh, yeah.
Set in the vague future or whatever it is. Okay, what about Warcraft in terms of anticipation? Because you got to look at the fan base for Warcraft
as well. Yeah, that's
true. People underestimate that. It's not as in the public eye as Batman v Superman, obviously.
Yeah.
But...
So you're saying War... Yeah, no, I think you're probably right. Mm. You know, if there was a StarCraft movie.
Yeah.
But yeah, like the... I don't know. A Warcraft movie does feel a little bit like... Remember all those Uwe Boll movies?
Have we talked about Blood his Rain flip out?
He had a meltdown, didn't he? Because he tried to do a Kickstarter to raise...
For Postal 3. One of something 3.
Right,
I can't remember.
Uh-huh.
Rampage 3.
Rampage 3, okay.
Yeah. And he didn't get his $100,000 and he lost it.
Great.
He was calling all... He was making all sorts of racial slurs.
Yeah. That guy's a real... situation that man. We should do an episode on him maybe, because he used to make movies because there was some sort of weird German tax shelter law where if you invested your money in his movie, even if the movie was terrible and didn't make any money, you would somehow get a massive tax break.
And
you would avoid paying tax or something like
that.
So that's how, like, he sort of got investors to come and invest in his movies in that way and get his movies made. But then apparently they closed that loophole. So now he's out of the business.
And now he's like, he's blaming Kickstarter. He's blaming Clooney. And he went on this weird rant of like, everybody in Hollywood's laughing at you, like us specifically.
Mm.
But I think there's a bit of projecting there.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah, he went to town. So if you haven't seen that, and if you don't mind a grown man calling people retarded,
sure,
then maybe that's for you.
Oh boy.
No, he's a lunatic.
Yeah.
And then he boxed his critics that time. He beat up a 17-year-old kid.
Well, I remember that, yeah.
One of them was dude from Something Awful.
Yeah, Richard Kianka, yeah. Otax, yeah. Because he was apparently, because that's all outlined, I think, on somethingawful.com.
Yeah.
Like, he was like, hey, come and fight me for, you know, for a kind of a show thing.
Yeah.
And he was like, oh, this will be a fun time or whatever.
Mm.
And then he got in the ring and Irvin just...
That
just,
dude can fight.
Yeah. Like, yeah.
I'll tell you what, like, I would never agree to that. And if I did, I'd go, give me 6 months.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then I probably still wouldn't do it because I'm a coward. I don't know. Maybe in terms of anticipated movies, Star Wars as well. I mean, that depends on what we get from the trailers for that. Because that's set in a real prime... kind of Star Wars era that people love around the New Hope era. So look, he's definitely got grounds for that. It may be true. There's no way to really tell whether
there's that... really no way to tell what is the most anticipated movie unless you poll literally every person who's going to go see a movie next year.
Exactly.
Tricky at best.
Did you know anything about E3 that happened? People want us to talk about that for a bit if you want to.
Nope.
Do you know what E3 is?
The
Electronic Expo of Games.
Yep. They should really call it E2 plus G.
Very good.
Yeah. No, I didn't. I was not paying attention.
Well, I could give you some highlights if you want.
That's not surprising, though, is it really?
No. I'm not.
Well, if anybody is tuning into this, any regular listeners of this is tuning in and expecting me to say anything other than I wasn't really paying attention.
I could. Yeah. That's on you, really, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, Star Wars Battlefront 3, they showed that off.
I saw a little bit clip of that. Great. Looks great. They showed some Hoth
stuff.
Kind of AT-AT.
Yep. It's not set in any particular era, it seems, because you can have Luke Skywalker fighting Darth Vader, but he's kind of in his Return of the Jedi outfit.
Right.
Uh-huh. So it's just kind of, you can throw anybody into a battle. I'm not sure. I think there is a single player mode, but they've basically said, or they're unwilling to say whether this game is canon or not.
Right.
Because in Battlefront, you can do anything for a lot of this. You know what I mean? You can have Boba Fett fight, I don't know, some other dickhead.
Jango Fett.
Yep. There you go. Uh-huh. That'll do. It looks really good. That's something I'm definitely want to get. And if you pre-order it as well, you get the Battle of Jakku a week early or whatever.
Oh, that's right.
So I don't pre-order because fuck that shit. But I'm going to be doing that though. Mm. So, yeah. Uncharted 4.
Oh, yes.
Looks Drake's. Great. Drake's Ravine.
I don't think it's Drake's Revenge.
Drake's Revenge.
Drake's Deception? Or was that 3?
No, maybe it was, I don't know.
No, I don't know either.
Looks good. Yep. Big fan of those games. Uh-huh. You ever played them?
No, I've always had an Xbox. So
okay.
Yeah, I was tricked. I'm like, oh, Xbox exclusives. I think Mass Effect, and then it went to all consoles.
Oh, Halo and Halo. Gears. And,
yeah,
and
Gears was no good.
Oh, really? People love Gears.
Yeah, I don't like it.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah. Rise of the Tomb Raider is an Xbox exclusive, which I'm annoyed about because I want to play that. They will bring that to PlayStation.
You'd think so, yeah.
Yeah. Big one that people love is the Final Fantasy VII remake.
Oh, in HD with all sorts of new stuff.
All sorts of HDs.
Yeah.
As many as you can count.
Big swords.
Yeah.
Cloud. Cloud Strife is his name.
I never played that.
Sephiroth.
How many Fs in Sephiroth?
None. Tricked you.
Good
That's
Lord.
The twist.
At the end, it's a man writing out his name.
Yeah.
Did you play that?
I played 7. Yeah. Yeah, that was on PlayStation 1.
Yeah, yeah. Mm. You liked it?
Yeah, real good fun.
Would you get the new one?
Nah.
Cool.
Yeah.
One of the big Nintendo reveals was a new Star Fox game.
Excellent.
Love those games. They're really great. Last one I played was, 64. But apparently the ones you can get on DS are quite good as well.
Excellent.
Good. Fallout 4, big one.
Seen the trailer for that. Yeah, looks great, yeah.
Do you play 3?
No.
I started it, but I was in a bunker for so long. And Liam Neeson's like, here's your thing for your wrist. Oh, this is boring, isn't it? And
well, that's not very encouraging, is it?
I know it's really good, but I never got past that. So,
what if the entire game was just Liam Neeson muttering under his breath?
How he's bored.
How he's bored, yeah. Yeah.
Look, I know it's really good and people are really anticipating it. You know, I sound ridiculous, but really, really open worlds where you could literally do anything don't generally interest me. Because okay, it's so kind of vague and sprawling. I'm like, what am I doing?
So what's your limit? Would you say like an Arkham City?
Yeah, absolutely.
But Arkham Knight is going to be even bigger.
Yeah,
but it's five times the size or
but
something.
But that's very story driven. Right, I feel like a thing like, say like a Skyrim, for example, there is a main story, but it's just kind of like, it's too much. And I'm like, if I start playing this, I'll play it forever.
Yeah.
And I can't be doing that. Mm. So
I could, I think, but I think I've mentioned this before. My first playthrough of Skyrim, there was a bug, like, right, because the first releases of that were like notoriously buggy.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And sometimes they'd be buggy and sometimes they wouldn't. And the first time I started, there was a bug in the first like 30 seconds.
Yeah.
And so I just dicked around for like 20 minutes in this one scene, like trying to escape from this horse-drawn carriage thing.
That's right,
and I couldn't escape from it.
Mm.
I'm like, I'm trying all this. And then by the time I looked it up and realized that I was supposed to be led off the horse-drawn carriage.
Yeah.
And the actual story is supposed to be starting. By the time I reset, I'm like, I don't care about this anymore. I played it, but I'm like, I'm kind of sad on the whole thing.
Yeah. You really did it, Skyrim.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I got a PS4 this week in anticipation of Batman.
Oh, yes.
I got one of the games I got was GTA 5 with it. That game is amazing.
It's going to destroy your life, isn't it?
Oh, it really is. I didn't buy it for a reason. And I've started playing it. And I'm so behind on everything. Just everything in my life. Mm. So, yeah, anyway.
I've got some fake news here.
I love
fake
news.
Some fake news that's going around.
Yeah.
The fake news is a guy calling himself the Ant-Man released 350 pounds of ants into a bank and robbed it.
What?
Rumors that a bank robber calling himself Ant-Man released 350 pounds of ants into a bank.
Yep. Where did he get all those ants?
Sorry?
Were they in a sack?
Large box.
Hey, I guess they would be.
Yeah, two carrying a large box. The third man was wearing some sort of superhero-looking costume. The men emptied the box, and what customers and staff witnessed next was something out of a nightmare.
Was it
ants?
What was this on?
This was on the...
Is this like a weird Marvel
Statally
promo?
Statley Harold.
Is this a weird Marvel promo kind of...
It doesn't sound...
Like, doesn't, because he's not really... Ant-Man doesn't wear the Ant-Man suit to rob banks with a box of ants.
Yet.
Yeah, well, that's true.
Maybe that's a post-credit sequence.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that sounds great.
Anyway, some people asked me to comment on that, and it's fake news. So
there you go.
Yeah.
A few more games before we move on. Last Guardian. That's been promised since maybe 5-6 years.
Uh-huh.
That's the same developer as Shadow of the Colossus and Ico.
Right,
do you ever play Shadow of the Colossus?
Yeah, Shadow of the Colossus.
Amazing.
Is great. Yeah.
So I'm really looking forward to that. That was one of the reasons I think I got a PS3 to play that and then the God of War games, but then they kind of got... It's just the same shit.
It really is, yeah.
They're amazing. They look amazing and whatever, but they're a bit... Xbox also is backwards compatible, which is great, the new Xbox One. The PlayStation aren't going to do that. And one I thought you might be interested in, it's called Transformers Devastation, and it's a cel-shaded Transformers game in the style of the 80s cartoon.
Ooh!
A lot of the original voices. It's by the people who did Metal Gear Rising, which was the one where
you had the sword and you could cut people's limbs off
exactly.
Very specifically. Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, and they did Vanquish and a few other stuff. Vanquish was like a futuristic...
I remember Vanquish.
That's
yeah,
pretty good. Yeah. Slide on your knees,
shoot a robot. With
Mirror's Edge as well, which
was great,
I love.
Was the free running game.
Yeah, and look, Mirror's Edge is broken. A lot of it, the mechanics of the old one.
Uh-huh.
But I still had a lot, not entirely broken. When it flows, it's great.
Yes.
So I'm hoping they've kind of fixed that up because I had a lot of fun with that first
Totally.
Message. Also, virtual reality is a big thing.
Oh, it's back.
Yeah.
They're taking another stab at virtual reality.
Though one of the dudes from Nintendo, I can't remember which guy, was like...
Assume it's Shigeru Miyamoto.
No, it wasn't. It was the other dude.
Shigeru Miyamoto-san.
No. What's his name? I can't remember. It's like a big dude.
Oh, Wario.
Yeah, that's yeah. He wasn't impressed. He said basically it's like a bit of tech and it's not immersive. I mean, it is immersive, but it's not community based and having fun with others.
Right.
Which
so it's not Wii bowling, is what he's saying.
Essentially, I mean, I think.
I mean, it's not yet.
No, I think that that's got legs. Yeah, I mean, totally. I don't know anything about this.
It's getting better. Like Oculus Rift. Are we talking about Oculus Rift?
There's a bunch of them. Like PlayStation has their own and whatever. They've all got their own. Microsoft had a tech demonstration for the new Halo game where you'd wear it and you'd go through and have the little Halo destination icon would pop up on your in your vision.
Uh-huh.
So and you actually walk down a corridor and you go into a room and then like a little holographic kind of map appears.
Wow.
In the middle, like it's kind of like augmented reality mixed with virtual reality and kind of
you need a lot of space to walk around though.
Yeah, you need to. Well, you know how they do like those escape rooms?
Yes.
A lot of companies are now doing a similar kind of thing where they'll set up like a maze or a series of rooms and you wear the Oculus Rift and you run through and you shoot creatures and whatever.
Crazy.
But because you're physically in the environment, you're not going to walk into a wall.
Right, yeah.
As long as it's calibrated correctly.
And they're not because they're maintained by bored 15-year-olds
exactly.
on minimum wage.
You know what you couldn't put in
that? We're deliberately miscalibrating them, yes?
You couldn't put stairs in.
No, people would break their legs.
Anyway, Batman was also shown, but we'll talk about that next week.
Okay,
so
right.
We'll get into that. But
Who do you think the Arkham Knight is?
The Arkham Knight will be Yahoo Serious.
Unlikely.
That'd be amazing.
Take a stab at it. Bearing in mind, we don't know.
Hush.
Yeah, it's going to be Hush.
Yeah.
Yeah. The rumor was, one of the rumors was that, so for people who don't know Hush, he's a Batman villain. He was Tommy Elliot, one of Bruce Wayne's childhood friends, who sort of went a bit crazy, a lot crazy. And then eventually he surgically altered his face so he looked like Bruce Wayne. And so the rumor was...
And he's in Arkham City.
Yeah, very brief. There's a side mission.
You see him, he's got the Bruce Wayne stitched together face.
Yeah, totally. Mm. So the rumor was that we were gonna reveal that Arkham Knight takes the mask off and it actually is the real Bruce Wayne.
Yeah.
And you've been playing.
I think that's something that someone sent in for us. Yeah, it's a guy sent in. Yeah,
I think that went around for a while. So the character you were playing was Hush the whole time.
Yeah.
But if you read the Arkham Knight prequel comics, the Arkham Knight is killing people. So,
okay, sure.
So it's probably not Batman.
That would have been a great twist, though.
Yeah.
Unless they do swap in between.
Oh, sure. There's heaps of swapsies.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally.
That'd be great.
I reckon it's Hush.
Yeah. Well, look, you know, we'll see, won't we? Yeah. Oh, yeah. If it turns out to be the Joker for no reason, that'll be...
Yeah, also the prequel comic does have, like, Batman taking the Joker's corpse out to the police and then Arkham Knight is, like, there 2 minutes later. So unless there's a real quick switcheroo.
Yeah, yeah. Mm. There's also a trailer where you see the Joker's body being cremated.
Oh, right.
I mean, they swapped him out, spoiler alert, for Arkham City, where he's Clayface
right.
and whatever. So there's ways around that. But
oh, totally.
I'd be very surprised if the Joker was alive. But we'll talk about it next week, won't
we? Yeah, we will.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number 1 in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
When picking a commerce platform for your business, you got two choices. Oh, this piece of shit, mother or sales. I definitely prefer, don't you? Because that's a sound you'll hear when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that's supercharging your selling wherever you sell, online, in person, on social media, and beyond. Shopify is the best all-in-one commerce platform capable of handling your business's complexity no matter how big you grow. Step up to Shopify and harness the best converting checkout and the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. For example, Ruggable, NYX, Magnolia, Cotton, and so many more. Now you're probably thinking, sure, but migrating is going to be a headache. The Shopify App Store has the migration apps that you need to migrate your products, orders, customers, and more from every e-commerce platform to Shopify. And maybe you're one of those people who are like, hey, don't put me in a box. I don't want to be in this box, either metaphorically or for real. Thankfully, Shopify never will, because with Shopify, you can control your brand and business from your storefront look to your back office operations. And you know what's really annoying when you're checking out from an online store and you have to put in all your payment details and all sorts of numbers and letters and whatnot? Well, with the Shopify store, they actually remember my shipping address or your shipping address if you were using yours, plus the payment information. So say if I'm on the couch and my wallet is in the kitchen, I didn't even have to get up, which is my favorite thing. Stop leaving sales on the table, switch your business to Shopify and discover why millions trust Shopify as their all-in-one commerce platform to build, grow, and run their business. So sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/weeklyplanet, all lowercase. That's 1 month for just $1 at shopify.com/weeklyplanet. Shopify.com/weeklyplanet. Cha-ching sound effect.
People love Game of Thrones,
yes,
Mason.
Yes, they do. Yeah.
They've been saying since day one of the show, probably not.
Since day one they've been saying, do an episode where you recap season five of Game of Thrones. Since day one, before season five of Game of Thrones even came
Correct.
Out. Yeah.
Now, I've kind of been, me and the listeners have been hassling you to catch up.
So what I did is like the last couple of months, I caught up on 1 through 4.
Yep.
And then in like 2 days I did season 5.
Yeah.
So my head hurts ultimately. Yeah. I'm gonna lose the thread a lot in in this episode, but I'm gonna give it a bloody good go.
Can I ask like your general thoughts on the series?
Here's the thing. I don't think this is the strongest season.
Sure.
But elements of it I am enjoying more. I like the fact that we're getting more magic.
More dragons.
Drogons.
Yeah.
We get drogons.
You like how there's more characters with regular English names that are slightly spelt in a different
way. I've got a theory for you. Here's a metric I've developed. If your character name is easy to pronounce and even slightly like a regular person's name, you're dead. Ned Stark.
Hang on, wait.
Spoilers.
We should say this is all spoilers for Game of Thrones.
Here we go. Yeah. Ned Stark, dead. Robb Stark, dead. Jon Snow, dead. Daenerys Targaryen, live forever.
Fine. Yeah, Arya Stark.
Yeah.
I guess that's like Arya.
Yeah, yeah.
That's kind of a... Yeah.
Khal Drogo. That could be a regular name.
Yeah, Khal Drogo.
Dead.
Yeah, Khal. Khal's a name,
isn't it? Just a name, yeah.
Okay.
So I think by like...
Stannis Baratheon. Possibly alive?
No, he's definitely dead.
Maybe.
We'll get to that.
Yeah.
So I think by like season 7, when they're reaching the
end, they'll all be like Flindelhorn Mankle Child.
Exactly. It'll just be random strings of consonants all put together. Just fighting each other.
We should point out as well, we're not book readers in general, but not of this series.
Because books are for nerds.
I read the first book after I watched the first season.
I've never read a book.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
And then I started the second one before the second season started. But then I went, you know what? I like the show better.
Yeah. I did speak to some, recently I have spoken to some people who are big fans of the show and who have read the books.
I hope these aren't like, friends of yours, Mason.
Look.
Who read books.
So let's say they're associates of mine.
Fine.
But anyway, so I'm like, okay, here's the things that have happened.
Yeah.
Can you summarize, simplify this a bit for me? And they're like, well, in the books. And I'm like, don't give me more information. Give me less information. God.
So summarize.
Yeah, so they were no help, but, you know.
Yeah, okay. So like I said, we're pretty much spoiled all this season so
far. Yeah, totally.
Far. Yeah. So I thought maybe the way we
So anyway, you were saying, what do I think of the season?
Yeah, what do you think?
What do I think of the series overall?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm enjoying more because I think when it started, you watched the first season and I'm like, okay, is it any good? And you were like, yes. And I'm like, what's the magic situation like? Mm. And you were like, oh, magic used to exist, but it doesn't exist anymore. And yeah. I'm like, ugh, yawn.
Yeah, sure.
Because I like a fantasy series absolutely. With a lot of magic in it.
But I think that was smart not to go full Merlin from episode one because that drives people away.
That's true. And it's the problem with full magic is that unless you clearly define all the rules in like a massive expositional
in a wall of text like the movie Dune.
Oh, yes, exactly. Then people are always like, oh, so can they do this or can they not do this and blah, blah, blah. And it's all very vague. And you can always have a character get out of the situation by using some vague magic in some vague way that they never have before. So I think you're right in Game of Thrones. They have
the magic in this as well is, what was I going to say? It seems to be a lot of it's kind of like the whims of the gods. It's kind of like sometimes this magic will work for you, sometimes it won't. Maybe this is a one-time thing this time if this happens and et cetera. Yeah. So I think they kind of – there are rules, but they're pretty – you don't have to adhere to certain things because all the prophecies are vague and they can be misinterpreted whatever.
It could be the chosen one could be anyone at this point.
Could be Neville Longbottom.
It's not Neville Longbottom. Although, maybe it would be. Maybe he is the chosen one.
You know what I like about this? This, for me, feels like a natural progression from Lord of the Rings. Not in the sense that these are the same.
No, you're saying it's a sequel.
It's a sequel.
This is an official sequel to Lord of the Rings.
Well, see, I felt like after Lord of the Rings, like, obviously I was 10 years younger than I am now when this came out, more than... And I was kind of looking for something to follow up from that.
Yes.
And, you know, a little bit more mature, a little bit more expansive.
By that you mean gratuitous nudity.
That's what I mean, yes. And dragons. Yeah. And this is that. Like, The Hobbit is not that for me. And I'm sure it is for a lot of people. Mm. But this is, I don't know, I just like the way that this universe is. I think this is definitely helped by kind of a combination of your shows, like your Sopranos and your Lord of the Rings. It's kind of like a combination of...
It is
that kind of
it
shit.
Is an absolute combination of The Sopranos and Lord of the Rings. It's very House of Cards, really.
Yeah.
It's
before House of Cards.
Yeah.
In your face.
In your face, House of Cards. In your face, Spacey.
All right. Well, how do you want to do this in terms of talking about the series? Episode to episode?
Let's just wing it and see what happens. We can bloody alliances are made. Dragons are ridden fairly unconvincingly. a character who's kind of been boring for about 4 years suddenly... becomes a bit more interesting, and then he's immediately killed. Jon Snow. Straight away.
Why don't we do story arcs or areas?
Okay. All right, let's do story arcs. All Bearing right. in mind, I'm probably going to forget. Like, you might give me one, and I'll be like, I have no memory of that.
Yep. And do you want to do, like, highlights and lowlights?
Yeah, highlights and lowlights. I've got some awards I'm going to give out.
Great!
Yeah.
Straight up, best hair.
Jamie Lannister, surely?
In this season?
Oh, Daenerys, right? She's got the best
that's
hair.
A wig. I got pretty good wig there. I'm fairly certain
no,
that's a wig.
No, but I mean the characters. I'm not...
Okay.
Yeah. I'll think I'm best hair.
I think Stannis has the most...
He does not have the best hair.
I'm not saying best hair, but he's got the most appropriate for his situation.
What
keep
about...
Keep it short.
Yeah.
No one's grabbing Stannis by the hair and flinging him around. Jon Snow with his beautiful locks.
Yeah.
That's a dangerous game you're
that
playing.
That is very, yeah.
I'm surprised that didn't lead to your downfall. Maybe it did. Maybe people were like...
His hair's so beautiful, Why do we have to live in the ditches and bloody be in the Night's Watch when he's up
shampooing
his hair, exactly.
All right, so I'm just drinking some water.
Yeah, great.
All right, well, why don't we start with the best season story arc? Jaime and Bronn go to Dorne for a really long time.
I was going to say it was that's very good. You're very clever because that was definitely the worst.
Is that clever, is it? Me just saying the opposite of a thing?
Yeah.
Okay.
We've based our entire podcast on just saying a thing and then saying that it's clever. Nobody's figured it out yet. I think it's a really good idea to send on a secret mission the most famous man in the land.
With a gold hand.
With a gold hand, precisely. Yeah. Look, here's the thing. You know that I love a bit of swashbuckling derring do and a bit of a romp.
Sure.
You know I do. That's why I give a lot of credit to Star Trek Into Darkness, because it starts out with a bit of a fun romp.
Yeah.
And then it falls into the toilet. But then I'm like, it's still pretty good, because at the start they had all the fun.
I remember the fun.
But I...
That could have been a lot more fun than what it is. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah,
if it's because you team up those two characters and they're very interesting.
Yeah,
on their like on their previous adventures that they had, because they're like they team up with all sorts of people.
Yeah, yeah.
He was with Gwendolyn Christie's character. What's her name? Brienne.
Yep, uh-huh.
Real name. Uh-oh. Is it Brienne? Yeah.
Yeah, she's doomed.
Jamie's a real name also.
Yeah, he's,
anyway, and Bronn was...
But he's ruined his hair.
So. Yeah, that's true. And Bronn was with Tyrion.
Yep.
And that those storylines are great.
Yeah.
But bringing those two together, they just didn't really do much with it.
Well, it's not even that. It's also, like, again, like I said, I want it to be kind of a fun swashbuckling. Because, you know, like Oberyn Martell's kind of like an Antonio Banderas kind of...
Boy, is he.
But then we end up in Dorne and everybody's like a... Like a spicy Latina stereotype?
Yeah. Aren't the sand snakes not good?
They're very, yeah.
That was the worst fight.
Yeah.
You know, that weird courtyard fight?
It's Xena Warrior Princess.
That's exactly what it was.
It's an episode of Xena Warrior Princess.
It felt so out of place.
Yeah, and well, see, it's weird because Dorne is like, because you want to like that place because it's like, because you know how like in every other realm in the land.
Yeah.
If you're like a bastard child, you're like cast out.
Exactly.
You're whatever.
Yeah.
In Dorne,
yeah,
like
if you're gay or a woman or
your hair's too beautiful. But then in Dorne, everybody like it's more kind of
whatever.
Yeah, it's everybody's cool with everybody else, and you know the king is sending one of his bastard children to to represent him in other lands or whatever because everybody's equal.
Yeah,
so you want to like that place, but then it's all just weird stereotypes and
It. Look, we shouldn't stay on Dorne for too long,
okay? Because it's garbage.
Because it's garbage. But I did like the how it ended with Jaime finding out that she knew that. Marcella knew that he was her father.
Yes.
And they had that moment. And then immediately I'm like, oh, no.
She's doomed.
Yeah. So I liked that. I wouldn't say that made up for 10 episodes of that.
Mm.
But that moment was interesting.
Right.
Yeah. I should point out as well, not having read the books, Jaime and Bronn don't go to Dorne. It's like another
pair. Yeah, I was informed of that.
Did you get that in your breakdown summary?
Yeah, that was longer than I think the 10 episodes.
Did somebody unroll like a big papyrus map? Papyrus? What is it? Papyrus. A papaya.
Yeah.
A piece of fruit.
Somebody unrolled a big papaya.
Which is the fruit?
Papaya.
And what's the rice thing, the rice dish?
Paella.
There we go.
Yeah.
You're good at this.
Wow. You would not last as a weird Spanish stereotype in the land of Dorne, let me tell you. I don't know. I was speaking of gratuitous nudity before. There was fewer scenes of gratuitous nudity.
Okay.
And I think that makes it harder to keep track of things. I was talking to... No, here's a term that I learned as I was looking into this.
Yeah.
People call it sexposition.
Okay.
Because in like all the previous seasons... Mm.
Littlefinger will be revealing a plan.
Yes, and there's just naked women all over the place. And people are like, oh, well, I was going to leave the room to want to go to the bathroom or whatever, but there's naked women, so I guess I'll listen and I'll get it by osmosis.
Yeah.
But in this one, there's been fewer times of that, and I think there was a lot of me going, I wonder what's happening on Facebook right now.
So this is one of the few shows where I shut everything off.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And I don't. I think this is probably the only show.
Right, right.
Actually, maybe Silicon Valley, which I love a lot as well, which is on after.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Do you feel like they with this season, they kind of had to keep the train of horrific stuff going?
Yes.
Yeah.
I think you set a precedent and you got to keep
up. You got to keep it up. Yeah. I feel strongly like, again, people were telling me that book-wise, there's a bit, because, you know, the War of the Five... Kings?
Sure.
Armies? Whatever it is. Just lands? I don't know what it is.
A bunch of people running at each
other. Yeah, but they're like, okay, all the horrible stuff happens, the Red Wedding happens and all that sort of stuff. And then in the books, there's like a period of downtime.
Yeah.
Like it's kind of the hangover after the horrible nightmarish party.
Yeah.
But in this, they're like...
There's a lot of head in hands. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. What did I...
By whatever gods we believe in.
Somebody get me a kebab. but I guess they were like, well, we can't have just Daenerys... trying to run her country and it's going okay, but it's not going quite okay. And we just dwell on that for a while. We're going to have just mayhem.
I'm fairly certain there was some Sons of the Harpy stuff in the book, but it's all, the timeline's all jumbled up as well.
Yeah.
Like compared to what happens. Also, it's not entirely up to date, but
most of the book stuff is done.
Yeah, we're off book now.
Yeah, we're off book.
So,
which I love.
Yeah. Do we know if the producers of the show?
Yeah, they know.
They know what's happening.
Yeah. Yeah.
So they can. So it's not gonna. It's not gonna be one of those ones that goes look, off the, in a weird tangent.
There will be deviations because in the books, there's people that are alive that are dead.
Yeah,
in the, uh-huh. Like Stannis is still alive, and right. I think the Battle of Winterfell hasn't happened in the books. Mm-hmm. What's his name? The dude with the beard who hangs out with Daenerys. One of the five men who do that. Rick. The old guy. No, it was the Kingsguard guy. He got stabbed by the Sons of the Harpy at the start.
Yes,
he's got a beard. Barristan Selmy.
Okay,
he's right. Alive in the books.
Yep.
There's a bunch of people. There's a bunch okay, of things yeah. that haven't happened uh-huh. yet or have. Yeah. Like it's
right.
But yeah. Anyway, Dawn wasn't very good, but it will lead to some kind of all-out war or some kind of political intrigue.
Oh yeah.
So that will be interesting.
Mm.
I think Marcella in the books as well doesn't die. I think she gets her ear taken off or something.
Right. Okay. Sure.
So. And I don't think we saw
she
her.
Gets away scot-free because so many characters just get away with
yeah,
they're fine.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But so I think she, so I don't, there's a lot of, you know, this the final episode, a lot of people we presumed to have died, we didn't see an on-screen death.
Right.
Or two in particular. And okay. she was one of them. I don't think we saw her actually die.
Okay, yeah.
But there was that prophecy for Cersei that all her children will die. That yeah. was at the start of the season. So, you know.
What do you have next on the list?
Sansa in Winterfell.
Okay, sure,
it's
yeah.
pretty horrendous, right?
Yeah, that was the moment, there's the, was it eight, episode 8 or 9? It's one of those.
7, where seven. The where she's raped?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah, I think it's 7.
Yeah, because yeah. I remember, at that point I hadn't caught up.
Yeah.
I hadn't watched any of the episodes. One, I think I'd watched one or two or something yeah, like yeah. that. And then somebody just retweeted into my Twitter feed, just 50 people in a row just going, I am done with Game of Thrones. I am done. And that's totally fair, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I think the idea behind a lot of the stuff that happens, especially in the books, is that George R. R. Martin wants to show the worst things that happen in war.
Yeah.
And like the depths that people
see. Yeah, a lot of these things historically, yeah. like a lot of these things are based on historical events as well and the way that people were treated in the medieval era and whatever.
Yeah. Right.
Why do you think it was that moment that kind of pushed people over the edge, considering there has been rape and murder and all sorts of stuff? Why that?
I don't know, straw that broke, you know, I would say straw that broke the camel's back, but I think that what, because especially what I was expecting is that I kind of thought that Sansa would be sort of become a Littlefinger Jr.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
like this season would be her growing in
revenge.
Yeah, and then some sweet revenge. We didn't get any sweet revenge.
Yeah.
I think they're maybe leading in season 6. She might get some sweet revenge or she'll be horribly maimed and killed. Who
sure,
knows?
Either way.
Because life isn't fair.
Not really.
In the kingdom.
But it's not this unfair, generally.
Yeah, exactly, generally. Yeah. So I think it was, I feel to me it was a case of you see her grow, her character grow, and she's becoming this character with this sort of internal sense of power or what have you.
Yeah.
And then she's back to being a victim again.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
she's season 1, season 2.
Yeah.
Sansa, and people like, oh, well, this is, like they had a lot, I think people had a lot invested in her. And now she's back as
well. A lot of, also in the books, and again, I haven't read this.
Yes,
that girl is not Sansa. Doesn't marry what's his name, Bolton.
Ramsay Bolton.
Ramsay Bolton. It's.
Can we do a straw poll? Who's the worst person on this show?
Ramsay Bolton.
Yeah, it's Ramsay Bolton. Okay, cool. We're in agreement. He's the worst.
What if Joffrey was alive? It's probably still because Joffrey's a simpleton.
Yeah,
but
and his
Bolton
replacement
is
also a simpleton. Yeah,
but Ramsay Bolton is a psychopath and he's very intelligent and cunning and malicious. Yeah, what's his name? The other one just was kind of, you could get around him.
Yeah.
Because he was kind of dim.
Yeah, yeah.
But this guy, not as much.
No. Do you think he's being set up as the antagonist for the rest of the show's run? Maybe?
I think he's due for a comeuppance.
Okay, right.
Yeah.
Right. You don't think he's going to last? Do you think he would last 2 seasons?
I'd be very surprised if he should last the next season.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Okay.
In the books, though, Sansa's somewhere else or something. I can't remember. But they get a girl who's not Arya Stark and say that it is.
He's Arya Stark.
And marry him or something. Uh-huh. And that's how they kind of keep order in the North because they're like, oh, we've got a Stark.
Yeah.
But they don't. So maybe that's the story they're going to do now where they're going to have to find a different person to be like, this is Sansa Stark, you know, even though she's over the wall. She's out of there with Reek.
Right, right.
Who's just a real
pile of garbage.
He's a real pile of garbage at this point. Oh boy.
I just want him to be put down.
Yeah.
Like, I don't
What's
like
he got left?
I don't like seeing him.
Yeah.
Get him out of here, man.
Yeah.
But yeah. Anyway.
Yeah.
Do you want to go Daenerys?
Well, actually, I was going to say, do you have one for if we go pre Daenerys?
Yeah.
Because we were talking about how in the Dawn storyline we had the worst team up.
Yeah.
My vote for best team up, if I'm given an award for best team up, is Tyrion and Jorah.
Yep.
Going to
absolutely.
Yeah, yeah.
I believe. Yeah, that's good.
That's
I like
that's
those
some
dudes.
Solid work. I like those two together.
And now they're not back together, are they? The season ended with a bit of a split.
What? Yeah, they were a split.
And one's got the stone touch.
Yeah. Yeah. The grayscale.
Yeah.
He's doomed.
Yeah, he's done. But grayscale can. I think it's not really clear on how long that takes.
No, and if you survive it, you can never get it again, right?
Okay. Well, yeah, because Shireen had it.
Yeah.
But then she was...
Yeah, you're scarred up forever, but you can't... If you survive it, you can't get it again.
Yeah.
So.
Sweet.
Yeah. But no, I thought that was fun. Like the scene where Jorah kidnaps him and he wakes him up on the boat or whatever, and then he's just trying to... You know, Tyrion cleverly determines who he is and determines his motives and, oh, you've been banished from the kingdom and blah, blah, blah. And you think they're going to have some sort of an understanding, but then he just clocks him.
Yeah.
But then eventually they sort of, he trusts Tyrion enough to leave him untied or whatever.
Yeah.
And they kind of have, there's some banter and they explain their lives to each other and kind of thing.
That was good. You're right.
Yeah, good
I'd
fun.
Agree with that.
I like that. That's a solid team up. I hope they team up again somehow.
I'm going to say something controversial.
I'm ready.
Peter Dinklage's English accent isn't very good.
He's
good. He's
great. Yeah.
But it's a bit...
I would also say...
You kind of forgive it. Like, you don't notice it. But somebody pointed out to me...
I'd say he's also in contest for best hair.
Yep. It looks real.
Yeah, it looks real. And he's kind of... You know, it's a man who's been on a boat a long time. He's had some sea air. You know what I mean?
It's man who's been on a boat hair.
Yeah, precisely.
So you're okay with his accent?
Yeah, it's fine.
Okay,
it's fine.
Fair enough.
Besides, what universe is this? They're not in England.
Yeah, you're right, but everybody else is.
I guess everybody else is in England. That's fair.
Yeah. But he's not, again, he's not bad, but he's clearly American and everybody else is British.
Sure.
Like, not everybody, but you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, Daenerys. So we have those storylines intersect, don't they, with Tyrion?
They do,
There's some Sons of the Harpy stuff, which is fine. Then it's kind of...
She has to reopen the fighting pits.
Yeah. Yeah. Just reopen the fighting pits already.
Yeah, come on. It's what we want. We want bread and circuses.
Did you enjoy the chained up dragons under the thing?
There was not enough dragons for my liking.
Well, dragons are very expensive, both to buy and keep as a pet.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
Sorry, to CGI.
To CGI. as I was saying earlier, there's the scene where she gets on Drogon and she flies away.
So you didn't think that looks good?
It's not a convincing effect.
I was okay with it. I was like, this is TV.
Okay. So. I feel that, I guess so. That's also the reason I think they've stopped putting the direwolves in for the most part. Because it's like a compositing thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you need Daenerys and you need the computer-generated dragon.
Yeah.
And you also need, you get a regular wolf.
Yeah.
And you...
You big it up.
You big it up. Oh, I guess you shrink the people down.
Yeah,
or and you composite them together, and it doesn't look convincing.
No,
like they've.
It's always like a weird still angle.
Yeah, and I think that's why they're like, let's just say the direwolves are somewhere else.
Yeah, yeah.
Right now,
fair enough. You do see him at one point. There's one he saves. What's his name? The dude who reads all the books on the wall, and he left with Gilly.
Sam.
Oh, he's dead. His name's Sam.
Yep. No, but it's Samwell, right?
Samwell's a real name.
Oh boy.
Samwell.
Yeah, he's dead.
Samwell Tarly.
And he's too gentle a soul.
Samwell Ganji, from bloody Lord of the Rings.
He's too gentle a soul. He's dead. He's bloody dead, mate.
Yeah. I think his family's going to be in it next season as well.
Oh, then he's definitely dead.
They're monsters.
You develop a family.
No, because he's from a noble house and his father never always hated him, thought he was a nerd.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
They kicked him out when he had a new son.
Yeah, yeah.
And then they might meet up again, so that's going to be very interesting.
Yeah. All right, Daenerys.
I like the dragon stuff, man.
Yeah, okay.
I think that dragon stuff is solid. I liked the bit where the dragon bloody landed and took out all those dudes.
Okay, that's pretty
good.
That
was great.
Yeah, okay, that's solid, yeah.
Took a bunch of bloody spears to the back.
Yeah.
Also, and...
They're going to be bigger next season.
Yeah.
They're going to be 120 feet wide, apparently.
Well, that's what they said, because all this... Like, this season, they'd have, like, just a big kind of green foam fake head that they'd pat.
Oh, sure, yeah.
And now it's going to be, like, the things
they're
interact with.
They're just going to repaint like an RV, like an old caravan. just airbrush a dragon on the side.
But like, the things that they're going to be interactive with are going to be like a finger of a dragon. You know, yeah, that's I like enormous. So that's what they said.
Just
so,
in a big stick.
Yeah.
They're going to, well, then well, they yeah, won't, that's have, how they then do they won't it. Have any compositing issues because they'll just wheel in a poke. Big, yeah,
yeah.
Big finger on a stick.
Also, apparently, this is in the books also.
There we go.
That you see Daenerys.
Nerd alert.
After she flies the dragon away.
Yeah.
Her hands are burnt. You know how she's immune to fire?
Yeah, yeah.
Apparently
yeah.
that was a one-time thing. My brother was telling me this.
Okay.
So
when she burst the dragon yeah, by was stepping into the fire, that was a one-off. Okay, yeah. right.
So I don't know whether that's true.
Yeah, okay.
My brother says it's true. He's a good enough guy. For
Wait, which brother?
The one that you like.
Oh. I trust him.
So, yeah, that's interesting.
He doesn't strike me as a Game of Thrones reader.
He loves it, man. Oh, he loves it, yeah.
All right.
Yeah. What was I going to say? Yeah, Daenerys stuff is solid. I think she had more to do this season than she has in like the last kind of two kind of seasons.
Yeah,
maybe,
yeah.
I remember last season she did a lot.
Are we going to see...
Season two, she tread water because I don't think she was in that book.
Oh, I see, right.
Yeah, anyway, go on.
Are we going to see any more dragons from any other...
I don't think so.
I want to see some opposing dragons.
Mm. Maybe a dragon will go with side with somebody else. Because there's all sorts of theories about secret Targaryens and all sorts of shit.
Right, because I guess only the Targaryens...
I don't believe so. Apparently there was a whole kind of city of them, and each kind of family had dragons.
That's right,
and
yeah,
then
okay.
only the Targaryen... One of the Targaryens had a prophecy and was like, this city's going to be destroyed. So they left,
right.
and then a volcano's destroyed it.
Okay,
that's
right.
my brother told me. I don't know whether that's true.
Yeah.
It's the one that you trust, though. So.
Okay, great.
And then, so they're the only ones with dragons.
Okay, sure.
But, I don't
Hang on, so a volcano destroyed dragons that are immune to fire.
I don't know, man.
I'm beginning to trust your brother less and less. And I trusted him barely at the outset, mate, so.
It's an explosion. If there's an explosion,
I'm
immune to air, but if I get an air explosion... Then I'll die, right? Like an air cannon?
Like an air cannon. Sure, like a t-shirt cannon.
Exactly.
You get shot with a t-shirt cannon.
Yeah.
Mm.
So yeah, dragon stuff gets better every season, I think. And we get more dragons every season than, yeah.
Uh-huh.
I liked the...
I want any mid-air dragon fight.
All right, we'll get won't we?
Good, yeah.
You know it's a good dragon movie?
Dragonheart?
Yes. Reign of Fire.
Reign of Fire is pretty good. Before, it's a good movie.
I feel like there should be more with Daenerys, but...
Nah, that's it.
It's all pretty good. Cersei and the Faith of the Seven.
Okay, sure, yeah.
That's some business there, isn't it?
little messed up.
So basically, she sets up this kind of faith militant group.
Yes.
To rid the city of her enemies.
Yes.
And unbeknownst to her, because she's also not as intelligent as she believes she is.
Yes.
I think
Tyrion
even pointed that out to her.
Because all her advisors are sort of gone in various capacities. Because she's...
Shipped them off.
Yeah, she shipped them off.
I think Tyrion even said that to her.
Yeah.
Like, you're not as smart as you think.
Yeah, and she's sort of treading water and kind of,
So basically she set them up and that got rid of Loras and Queen Marjorie and whatever and kind of got her son kind of back on under her control, but only to have the whole thing blow up in her face.
Yes.
Because Lancel bloody Lannister sold her out. He's a real piece of shit, that bloke.
Oh, yeah.
Which means she got captured and a woman hit her with a spoon.
Yep, well, that happened, sure, yeah.
And then she had to confess to the sins.
The incest.
Yeah, to one of them anyway.
Oh, that's
she didn't
right,
admit
yeah.
to the Jaime thing. Because that would have meant that the king wasn't the king, like, that would have been a whole thing.
Mm.
And I think for like 5 minutes, people were on board with Cersei, you know, as a character.
Sure,
when
yeah.
she was forced to do that naked walk.
The walk of shame,
Did you know that that was CGI? Like they CGI'd her head on someone else?
No.
Yeah.
It's quite good.
Yeah.
That scene is quite brutal.
It's really brutal.
Somebody did point out, though, that it's interesting that by the end her feet are all bloody.
Yeah.
Even though they're like paved streets.
I guess there's glass.
Like it's probably,
copper pots. Maybe she stepped on. Sorry, ceramic pots.
Probably stepped on some ceramic pots. There's probably a deleted scene where she went to the back of a butcher and he made her tenderize some raw meat with her feet. That would explain it. Yeah,
I don't know. Well, I mean, I'd imagine a lot of people in that city walk around barefoot. But I guess she's the queen.
She's not used to it. She's used to feather-filled socklets.
Yes,
you know
exactly.
What I mean? Yeah, exactly. So, but then at the end, she's did you have a...
No, I was just going to say, a lot of people are like, I hate Cersei, but I hate the woman with the bell more.
Right.
What I don't understand is...
Yes.
Everything up to that point where Tommen goes to the gates and he's like, can I speak to the High Septim? And they're like, no. And he's like, okay. If I was me, I'd be like, kill every one of these guys.
Sure.
Like,
right.
I'm
the king.
Yeah.
I'm a simple man. He's simple.
He is simple, yeah. But you can't stand for that.
True.
Like, and look, I'm not for killing people, but this is Game of Thrones.
Yeah, I guess so. Like, yeah. The one thing that I pointed out, and I had a conversation with my Game of Thrones book friend about this, and I'm like, at the end, she's...
My brother.
No, a different one. I've got two. That she's carried away by the mountain.
Yeah.
Who was dead. But we don't see him die.
Well...
But it's heavily implied that he's...
clearly some kind of reanimated zombie man.
Yeah, I feel that... The surgeon, the creepy surgeon character.
I like him.
Yeah, of course you do. He's the Billy Crystal magic man of Game of Thrones, because he's taken someone who's not dead, just mostly dead, and brought him back to life. Right?
A little bit different.
And he's said, oh, the mountain's taken a vow of silence.
Yeah, he can't talk.
Yeah, I reckon his mouth's melded together or something.
Or he's dead.
Oh, he's almost certainly, yeah. He's just a dead man in a suit of armor. Yeah, that's probably...
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that was some scary stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
That's some, like, childhood fear kind of Darth Vader shit when you see that guy.
Yeah.
You
know what I mean? That's, exactly. Yeah. Like, that's a man who, when he was alive, could cut a horse's head off with one strike. Imagine what he can do now.
Yeah, I don't like him. I don't care
for him. Bad. Yeah.
It's bad news.
He's in competition with... He would have been in competition with Ramsay Bolton as his worst guy, except now he's dead. So... Mm.
He's more of a puppet now. How did you react when you saw him squash that dude's head last season?
Oh, yeah.
God.
Yeah.
Like, I don't flinch at TV, like, ever. But that was like...
Yeah.
Bloody hell, man. Yeah. All right.
He's not averse to crushing an unarmed man who's half his size.
Yep.
I appreciate it.
Arya and the Faceless Men. All that bizzo.
I'm a bit vague on the whole thing. I think I tuned out a little.
So, yeah, she's basically trained to be a faceless person, which means that she becomes no one. She's just an assassin. She worships the many-faced gods, which I'm assuming their many-faced god is they're just like every god is the same person. They're just
with a different facet.
She can put on someone else's dead face pretty convincingly.
Yep. Uh-huh.
With a mixture of kind of magic and practical effects, assuming.
Yep.
And she killed that child molester.
Good.
And then went blind. They had to be like, oh, no, do you remember this guy? He's a really bad dude. Just in case you've forgotten, he's molesting children.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
God, she stabbed that dude like a lot. Any comments?
Well, you know, never let a good deed go unpunished. Why not blind her?
Sure.
You know?
Yeah. And then there was a weird kind of face-off.
Yeah.
Where she was pulling lots of faces off. I don't think that guy was wearing lots of different faces. I think that was some kind of sorcery.
Right, you don't think it was a Mission Impossible scenario?
I don't think
just
so.
Mask upon mask.
That's the real Mission Impossible. There was too many. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's impossible.
Mm.
Nothing else to say about that.
Great.
It was fine. Looking to see where it goes. She's gonna get some sweet revenge. I can't imagine her completely abandoning Arya Stark as her persona. I think she's gonna learn some skills and be like, I'm gonna bug her off now.
Right. But you don't think she's gonna fall into that?
I don't think so. Not in entirety. I mean, who knows? But. I don't know. We'll see, won't we?
It'd be odd, yeah.
What's going on there anyway?
There's too many plot lines. There's too many bloody threads,
all right? All right, we've got a couple more.
Okay.
Stannis.
Yep.
Four seasons of... Oh, no, that was John you were talking about. Stannis, as soon as they were like, you guys like Stannis now, because he had that nice moment with his daughter.
Oh, sure.
That's when I was
I saw an Instagram picture of just him holding a mug. It just said, number one dad. Which he has to give back now, I assume.
Obviously, yeah.
Yeah.
So basically, he was going to attack Winterfell.
Yep.
He took his sellswords and his army and he saved Jon Snow.
Yes. And he said, Jon Snow, I can make you a Stark.
I think I'm going to make you a star.
Yeah. He's going to make you a star.
I'm the Simon Cowell of the Game of Thrones universe.
He turned around in his chair. He was like, oh, I heard your beautiful singing voice, Jon Snow.
A lot of people came around to Stannis.
I think
including me. Because I didn't hate him. I was like, he seems like a guy.
Yeah, exactly.
He's very different than his brother.
Right.
Yeah. Not as fat, for one.
Definitely.
Then he kills his own daughter to get to win
the battle. He only burned her to death.
Yeah, I forgot. Yeah, I guess that's okay.
Yeah.
He probably shouldn't have done that.
No.
And he didn't get the sweet reward. Which I think will tie into something that happens later.
Yes.
Oh, we didn't really talk about Brienne either, who stood there staring at a castle for 10 months, whatever sure, that yeah. was. Uh-huh. Maybe it was a few weeks.
Yeah.
And then she turned away like 20 seconds before that candle was lit. And that kind of ties into Stannis' story. Yeah, so yeah. do you think Stannis got his comeuppance? Would you rather have seen him kill the Boltons? Who's the worst guy? I mean, it's clearly Ramsay Bolton.
Yeah, it's definitely Ramsay Bolton. I don't think anything we say up and after this point will change my mind that Ramsay Bolton isn't the worst. I don't know. I don't know.
It's interesting that all that Melisandre stuff was total horseshit.
Yeah.
Like, she was like, built you him were, up.
As the chosen
you're,
one.
You're Azor Ahai.
This will follow. This will yeah. tie into what I assume you're going for next.
Yeah,
after this,
exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think, and this ties in, I think the reason that she saw those visions and whatever of Stannis doing this and leading that, I think that was all to lead her to Jon Snow.
Right. Okay.
I think
yeah.
that's the purpose for that. Because after he kind of goes past the wall.
Yeah. Yeah.
It all goes to shit.
Sure.
Like everything just goes from bad to worse.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
But anyway, do you want to talk about Jon Snow?
So Jon Snow.
Yeah. Four seasons of being boring, did you say?
Yes, precisely. Yeah. It's fine.
I've forgotten that people didn't really like Jon Snow until this season.
Uh-huh.
Because he has a really strong season.
This season,
yeah.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
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 Actually, he had a lot of good stuff in last season. Like, he defended the wall and all that
sure,
kind
yeah.
of stuff
uh-huh.
and,
yeah.
and whatevs.
Yeah. But the White Walker...
The battle, yeah. the hard home.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
so good.
That's some good stuff, right?
Yeah.
That's the highlight of the
that
season.
Is, that's where all the budget went, surely.
Yeah, yeah, sure.
Yeah. The giant. Oh yeah. boy. See, that's some good compositing.
That also, there's a lot of that's also perspective.
Yeah.
If you go back, so. I could point some out to you, Mason,
oh, thank
but I
you.
But I won't do it.
No, don't do it.
Yeah, but I thought his whole story arc was interesting. He, you know, he became the head of the Night's Watch
yep.
and, you know, he made some decisions which clearly blew up in his face. And you know what? I was naive to think that he wouldn't die.
Sure, right. Like, sure. Because it's the Game of Thrones universe,
yeah.
so you do something good,
yep.
you get punished for it.
Yeah. You make a reasonable decision.
Yep, you get punished for it. George R. Martin is writing it, so he writes a character, you get invested in the character,
yep.
he kills that character.
Yep.
You
scramble around for somebody else you can
desperately to like.
Maybe that's why he became so popular.
Really focus on his good points and then bang.
Exactly.
Or stab in this case.
Do you think that's why Jon Snow got less boring? Because he was a default?
Yeah, because people were clinging to him. We're like, oh, he's not the worst. He's not a multiple rapist dismemberer of people. Yeah, so... Yeah, so he lets the free folk
yeah.
south of the wall, yep. I guess.
But should we go back to that battle,
oh, yeah,
I
okay,
guess?
Sure. Yeah,
because
yeah.
that's amazing, right?
Yeah, okay, yeah.
And you know what? It's not in the books as well.
Oh,
in the
I
books,
see.
It's like something bad happens there.
Right.
And you don't really know. But in this, nobody knew it was coming.
Right.
Book readers and non-book readers alike. And it just builds.
Yeah.
Like, it just keeps escalating. It's an incredible...
Yeah. And in any other show like this, or any movie like this... there would be a turn or there'd be reinforcements
yeah.
or there'd be the good guys would rally
yeah.
or they'd discover a weakness.
Yeah.
Somebody would notice a weakness. That
like they'd go for the dragon glass and they get it.
Yeah,
it
yeah.
turns the tide.
Yeah,
but,
exactly.
But
yeah.
they go for it
yeah.
and he just gets thumped.
Yeah,
like,
exactly. Yeah. It is.
When
yeah.
that White Walker walked through the fire as well.
Yeah, yeah.
Like that was like
just expressionless.
A holy shit moment. Like,
yeah.
And it takes out that dude.
Yeah.
But that was...
Like it breaks his sword with
yeah.
one blow and then...
Yeah.
Old Stabsy.
Old
yeah.
Stabsy.
Yeah.
And that fight with him and Jon Snow is amazing where he's just getting knocked around.
Yeah, yeah.
And then by, I guess, almost pure luck, he's, you know, his sword is impervious. Valyrian steel is impervious to their weapons.
Yes, exactly, yeah.
Yeah, and he takes them out.
Uh-huh.
That was pretty sweet.
That was good, yeah.
Great fight.
Yeah. It felt a bit, what was that really old movie with the stop motion skeletons.
Oh, Ray Harryhausen.
Yes.
That was intentional.
Oh, there we go. So
yeah,
that's,
yeah,
yeah,
that was, yeah.
But they looked a tiny little bit stop motion, but deliberately
yeah,
so. A
yeah.
lot of the whites and the skeletons
sure.
and the zombies and all
yeah,
that.
Yeah,
yeah.
And they had different kind of, like some were partially CGI and some were clearly just freshly dead people.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Like there was a kind of a good mix. And what do you think of the Night's King, that Darth Maul looking dude, the blue Darth Maul?
Yeah, what is he? Is he some sort of... Is
well,
he
there's
a high priest?
There's a few theories. Some people think he's Benjen Stark. I don't think he is.
Right.
Who's the missing Stark brother, Ned Stark's missing brother.
Okay.
Uh,
And he's a White Walk.
Yeah, but some people say he was the leader of the Night's Watch who married a White Walker.
Okay.
But some people also think that it's a title that's passed down.
Okay.
So I'm sure there's more better theories or an actual real...
Right.
But sure, reason for it.
There was a clear explanation that we missed somehow. Like a White Walker sits somebody down and explains the whole plot to them.
But I'm fairly certain that it's not really explained in the
because
books
the
as
White
yet.
Walkers can transform
humans
into
some
version of themselves.
Because a lot of those people, those White Walkers, are crassed as kids.
Yeah, okay.
That weird kind of marrying his daughter's lunatic.
Yeah, yeah.
Because he's given the babies away. He's like, have a baby.
Right. Yeah, that's
free
right.
Free of charge.
Yeah.
Free baby.
Okay.
So, yeah, and what I thought was interesting, he takes an interest in Jon Snow.
Yeah.
You see him look at him a few times like, that dude's something.
Right, okay,
which makes me think again, and this is all over the internet, I don't think he's dead.
Okay.
I mean, he's probably dead.
He's currently dead.
He's coming back.
Right, okay.
What do you think?
Well, so Azor Ahai is the savior of...
It's the prophecy that the person will do the best thing or something.
Okay, right,
I don't
right.
know what it is exactly.
Yeah, so...
My brother explained it to me, I forgot.
Hang on. I wrote it down.
Before we get to that, though, while you're looking at that,
uh-huh.
His death, I feel like I just walked right into that. Like, because it starts the episode with... its recap is... Benjen Stark, do you remember Benjen Stark? And I was like, oh my God, Benjen Stark's going to be in this episode.
Great.
Because everyone's like, where's Benjen Stark?
Yeah.
And there's a rumor that he's this dude called Cold Hands from the book and a bunch of other people who haven't been in it. And then it's like, your uncle's here. We're going to fight. We think we might know who he is.
Right.
I get excited. Jon Snow gets excited. He runs down. There's a cross that says traitor or whatever. And then I'm just like, I should have.
Yeah.
That's my fault.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Okay, so the train of events is Jon Snow's dead, but Melisandre is there.
Correct.
Right? And she follows the Lord of Light, Azor Ahai.
He's a pretty sweet bloke, apparently.
Yeah, sweet bloke. And we know from like season
three? Yeah, there's another Red Priest.
Thoros.
Yep.
I wrote that down.
Mm-hmm.
And he continually resurrected one of his friends.
Yeah, like eight times.
Like eight times, right, yeah, exactly.
But not only that. You see him do it.
Yeah.
So it's not something he just says.
That he did.
Like, you watch him do it. And that's the only time of Game of Thrones we've seen someone come back from the dead.
Right.
It's not the mountain, I guess.
It's not the mountain, yeah.
It's not like a weird...
But what's living, really?
Yeah, well...
If you're a weird zombie man with presumably no mouth. Or maybe, like, the guy's cut his tongue off and replaced it with a live snake. And that's why he can't talk. Right?
Maybe the snake can talk.
Yeah.
So, yeah, basically...
So the theory is, and this is all over the place...
One of many theories.
There's another theory that apparently in the books, you know how people can warg into like...
It's warg.
Warg. They can warg into animals.
Yeah.
That Jon Snow has Ghost, the direwolf.
Yeah.
That he's warged into
it. Yeah, and apparently in the books...
This I enjoy is the fact that nobody knows.
Yeah, exactly.
Point. The books aren't out, so there's no smug book readers out there going, well, I happen to know.
Yeah.
Bleh. I've read a book. So
apparently all... this isn't a spoiler, I guess. All the Starks are wargs and they don't know it.
Oh, yeah. Okay, right.
Yeah. But there also there's like, how long can you live in an animal for?
Yeah, exactly.
Bran's doing it. And remember if last season, it wasn't in the season at all, thank Christ.
Right.
but he's just hanging out with that weird tree man or whatever.
Right, yeah.
But Bran was doing it more and more. And that dude, the blonde kid from Love Actually is like, stop doing that because you'll lose yourself in there. So I guess you can go in there
forever.
You'll
wag yourself crazy. Yeah, but I guess so, but you can't, yeah, so, but if Jon Snow is actually dead, he can't come, but first of all, his direwolf was nowhere near him.
Yeah.
So that's probably not the case. That's just the theory. But even if he did, if your body's dead, I don't think you can come back to anything else, right?
What do you come back to?
You can't.
Exactly. Yeah, maybe a pile of snow.
Maybe a pile of, exactly.
In the shape of Jon Snow. Maybe he could come back like in a snowman like that.
Oh.
Is that like, Michael Keaton movie where he's a snowman? Jack Frost?
Yeah, Michael Keaton the Snowman.
I think it's Jack Frost the murderer one.
It's called Michael Keaton the actor is killed and resurrected as a snowman. It's terrifying. That's the title of the movie.
Not a comedy.
Right. So Melisandre thought that Stannis was the...
Azor Ahai.
Right, but then he's dead-ish probably.
Yeah.
He's definitely dead, right?
He's not the Lord of... He's not that guy who she thinks he is, clearly.
Right. Yeah.
And she happens to come back to the wall, and Jon Snow happens to get stabbed in the heart by Ollie, who's the second worst character behind Ramsay Bolton.
Yeah, yeah. So anyway, there's the hero was, he's back in the day, he stopped the Long Night.
Yep.
And he's come back and save the world.
Yep.
Wasn't Stannis. Okay. Oh yeah, the sword thing.
What about it?
Oh, in the ancient, yeah, okay. This is from an article I read.
Mm.
The Legend of Lightbringer, which was Azor Ahai's sword,
yeah,
is that in the ancient books is written that the warrior will draw a burning sword from the fire. Okay.
Great.
Okay. Right, so the blade Snow used on the White Walker at Hardhome was pulled from a fire. I've written that down.
Oh, was it?
Yeah, let's cut this bit out. Anyway.
No, let's leave it in. Okay, that's solid.
Yeah.
Well, also, I feel like Melisandre sacrificed Stannis' daughter.
Yep.
But there was no reward for that. And apparently for life, there's death, and death is life, and it's got to balance out. So maybe that reward goes to Jon Snow. So her sacrifice, he comes back.
Yeah.
There's also a theory that the White Walkers could resurrect him and he'd become one of them dudes. Because
it is a son of fire and ice. Is the one of the remaining notes that I wrote about this.
Mm.
The prophecy says that the dragon has three heads.
Yep.
So Azor Ahai might be three people.
Ah.
Right? And there's three dragons.
Ah.
So Jon Snow.
Yep.
Daenerys Targaryen.
Tyrion.
Yeah. There you go.
Well, there's a rumor that
the savior, all three of them.
Well, there's rumors that, well, fan theories that all three of them are Targaryens. That Tyrion.
I can't keep track of this bloody patronage. What is he? Is he a Stark or is he Targaryen? Is he made of snow?
I can break it down for you.
Is he an enchanted snowman?
Okay, first of all, the Tyrion thing is his father always hated him. And one of the last things he says to him is, "You're no son of mine."
That's
And
right.
he also says, "I can't prove that you're not
my son."
No, he
said, there's a crossbow bolt in my head.
I'm
on the can.
And that I could have...
It's going to take me ages to pass this, because it's a crossbow bolt.
And that he couldn't prove that his wife had an affair with a Targaryen.
Right.
And whatever.
I forgot about all the affairs.
Yes, yeah, so many.
Don't explain. Yeah, okay.
And look, Jon Snow's official heritage in Game of Thrones, like legally, he's Ned Stark's bastard child.
Right.
But the theory is that the Targaryen prince kidnapped Lyanna Stark, who's Ned Stark's sister, but not so much kidnapped as they fell in love.
Right.
And they had a child. So he's that, which is Jon Snow, which means he's half Targaryen, half Stark.
Okay.
He would have been killed if everybody knew he was Targaryen, because they were killing Targaryens like it was the bloody Jedi Holocaust that happened or whatever.
Uh-huh.
So basically, to cover that up, he basically took the blame. A man as honourable as Ned Stark wouldn't have an affair because he's kind of guy. Oh, you know what I mean? So
a good man and therefore dead.
Exactly. There's secret Targaryens all over the place. That's the rumour.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's anything else other than that.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. Got any other thoughts?
No, that's about it. So do you think that the ability to raise somebody from the dead is a bit of a game breaker?
It is, unless it is.
Yeah.
But it depends how...
When it sometimes works and sometimes doesn't, is what you're saying.
But it depends how it's done as well. If they did it, they'd have to make it very clear that this is a once-off and this is because of this. They'd have to...
Except for maybe you can do it maybe seven or eight more times.
But I think that was done on purpose that long ago to establish that it can be done.
Right, yeah.
Because if he was the only person who's come back and there's no precedent for it, people would not buy this.
They'd be like, why did you kill off all my favorite characters, leaving me with only Jon Snow, and then kill him and bring him back? It makes no sense.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I guess that's Game of Thrones.
We did it.
I enjoyed this. We should definitely do this next year if you could be bothered keeping up with
it. Fine. I'll have to start. Just build one of those trying to discover the identity of my parents' murder walls, where it's just a whole bunch of newspaper clippings and bits of string and blog posts and Polaroids.
It's pretty good stuff. Would you say it's one of the best shows on television?
Oh, it's pretty good.
I think it is.
Yeah.
I think it's, if not the best. Look, I don't think this is the strongest season.
No.
Seven episodes were pretty boring. Not much happens.
Yep.
But the last three were pretty bloody, pretty chock-a-block, mate.
Uh-huh. So I think maybe the lesson is wait until season six is over and then ask your friends which the best episodes were, like the best three, and just watch those.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Great.
Yep, great.
You know what it's time for then, Mason?
Oh, what we read.
Correct.
What we're going to read. our famous segment with this theme song.
I'm doing a the theme. What are we reading today? What you reading?
I'm not prepared for this.
That's all right. Do you want me to?
I watched a lot of Game of Thrones.
There you go.
Okay, go ahead.
Kieran B wants to know what we think of Batman 41, which is with the new Batman, who is Commissioner Gordon. You read that?
No.
It's pretty sweet.
Spoiler alert. You see the guy in the armored suit?
Yeah.
Has that happened already?
It's well known. I don't know if that's a spoiler.
Okay, yeah, right.
It's revealed immediately in the comic. People knew it before.
Okay, cool.
It's different, yeah. But I liked it a lot.
That's exciting, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, it's the first issue.
Is he shooting people?
He's not exactly, no. Uh-huh. He's got some tech, but...
Yeah, yeah.
No, I like the way he's done. He's like a 46-year-old Batman. Also, he wears like a kind of an awesome Batman suit out of the suit.
Which oh, he I see. Right, right. And like an internal.
Yeah. Do you want to say it?
So, hang on. Where is real Batman?
Real Batman, apparently, spoiler alert, is dead.
Hang on. Is this a parallel universe or is this the
no? This is the regular Whoa. Universe. Yeah. He apparently died in issue 40, but you know, he's not because he's Batman. He always comes back. Everybody always comes back.
Totally.
Hang on, I just want to show you the sweet picture of I tell you what, I like Comixology, but this app is a pile of shit. Like you swipe and it doesn't slide panels sometimes, and other times it does. God damn it!
Oh, this isn't what I'm gonna read. I should have put this in news.
Yeah.
This isn't coming out till September, but I'm fired up about it. So maybe I'll just. Wait, not read anything else until then.
All right.
We are aware of Batman 66.
Yeah.
Which is it's the comic book version of the 1960s Batman TV series, the campy one.
Yep.
Guess who's making his debut?
Yeah.
Bane as a luchador. Very exciting. I'm fired up about
Absolutely.
That.
Absolutely.
Ah, so good.
Here we go. Here's Gordon in his, that's the kind of, inside-y Batman.
Oh, that looks great. It's kind of Batman Beyond.
Yeah, it's a bit Batman Beyond. Yeah,
nice.
Yeah,
very
it's
good.
Pretty sweet. Yeah. It's clearly been working out. It's good. Good for him. Yeah, it's good. But in addition to that, I've read Action Comics 41, which is the new depowered Superman.
Oh, yes.
Which I actually really enjoyed as well. I feel like they're finally doing something good with New 52. Well, it's not New 52 anymore, but like with this new run of Superman. Because I feel like everything up to this point has been pretty... Blech. And also, they've finally done Martian Manhunter number one.
Yes.
And it's great.
Yeah, great.
So I would recommend all those to people who like comics.
Yeah. Actually, something that I watched the first short last week, and then some other people...
the new animated thingamajig.
Gods and Monsters.
Yeah.
Justice League Gods and Monsters. And a lot of people on Twitter said, hey, watch the other ones, and I'm going to.
They're good. They're really
They're
good.
Really great. So
which one did you watch?
I watched the Batman one.
Okay, you should watch the Superman one.
I will.
I think it's the best one.
I think I will.
You did say you
think
would.
I'm going to watch all of them. Yeah. So for anybody who doesn't know, Bruce Timm, who created the Batman animated series,
correct.
And sort of by extension the whole
Batmaniverse.
Batmaniverse, the DC animated universe. Yeah.
I think he wrote some of the Arkham games.
Yeah, he got. Yeah. Maybe it was Paul Dini.
Oh, maybe it was.
Yeah. Maybe I'm thinking Paul Dini. Anyway, the point is, some guy from back in the day, he's been given the keys to some DC properties and he's done some sort of reimaginings of your classic characters. Mm. Don't want to give anything away, but it's, you've got a reimagining of Batman, reimagining of Superman that I'm not going to spoil, and like a reimagining of Wonder Woman where she's a new god instead of an Amazonian.
Yep.
And the first one's great, and apparently the Superman one's also great.
Yeah.
So one can only presume that the Wonder Woman one is also great.
Yeah, it's good. They're all solid. Yeah,
excellent.
I don't often get excited for these animated movies because I think the DC ones are definitely better than the Marvel ones.
Yep.
But they're also a bit hit or miss. Uh-huh. So I'm looking forward to this.
Great.
Ian's written in.
Yes.
Says, hey, Nick and James.
Oh, hi.
Love your podcast and your YouTube videos are hilarious. Hopefully
Thank you.
Hopefully intentionally, he says. I hope so too. I want to recommend to you a science fiction movie called Europa Report. It's an incredibly underrated movie. It's more straightforward science fiction movie like Interstellar. Sorry, it's more of a straightforward science fiction movie like Interstellar.
Uh-huh.
And you seem to like that kind of stuff. So watch it or whatever. The visual effects are really good for its small budget. The acting feels genuine and it's got a great tone. It has a lot of real world science and has been praised for it being realistic. But whatever you do, don't watch the trailer. The trailer is terrible. The movie is great. All right. Yeah, that sounds like something
excellent.
I definitely want to check out. Is that it for what we're reading?
I think so, yeah.
Well, you've got a special treat for the letters this
week,
don't you?
Oh, boy, do I. So every week when I remember to do so, I ask the, because we don't have a theme to the letters section.
Because I refuse to edit it in.
Because you refuse to edit it in. Well, I've asked the listeners to send in a letters theme in a different style.
Mm-hmm. With a promise that...
Oh, that I'm going to, because you won't edit it in, I'm just going to play it from my phone.
Correct.
Into the microphone and you can listen in. So a couple of weeks ago I asked for a letters theme as in reggae.
Correct.
So, and that's been said. Sharath was there, was the sender. So thank you, Sharath. Let's give it a whirl. You can edit out this brief silence.
I refuse.
Now, okay, here we go.
Oh, ho, ho, yeah, man. It's time for letters with Nick and Jay. Oh, ho, ho.
Amazing.
It really fits the tone of the show.
Boy, does it. Laid back, smoking a big spleef.
Rastafarian.
Rastafarian.
Great. So, yeah, if you do want to set, what you got a request for next week?
Boy, let me think. Mumford & Sons style folk.
Okay.
Yeah.
Tweet Mason if you've done it.
Yeah, if you send one along and I'll check it out.
He'll check it out. What happens if we get more than one?
Do we play all of them in sequence?
I refuse that.
Well... Who's got the phone and the microphone?
Never have given you the microphone.
That's right.
Also, we should point out, where can people email the podcast?
Oh, sure. You can just email us at weeklyplanetpod@gmail.com. Yeah.
Yes.
Send us some letters. We love them.
Yes.
We love the letters.
This is from Leodie. As a mum of two young kids, I'm a parent who listens to the podcast and have to sing loudly over the butthole line with shooting all the footballs.
And presumably she's going to have to do that right now.
Correct.
And then explain why she's doing that.
I was just...
We've trapped you in a web of logic, Leonie.
Correct.
How do you like that?
You are the architect of your own destruction. I was distracted this week while cooking dinner and forgot to sing over the words. My five-year-old asked what a butthole was. Butthole is. We're British and don't say butt. I told him it's a flower you wear in your jacket for weddings, and it's pronounced buttonhole, darling.
Very good. Very good work. Yeah. Thinking on your feet.
I'm counting that as a parenting win. Keep
Very
up the good,
good
work.
Yeah.
Leonie from Liverpool. Great work, Leonie.
It's incredible work, yeah.
We have intelligent listeners.
Someone's done some improv courses.
Correct.
Yes, and.
Yes, and. Okay. I meant to ask you something about improv after. Someone you know that you told me a story once, and I wanted to... We'll come back to it.
Okay.
Me and you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Remind
after this,
me.
It seems libelous from what you can tell, so.
This is from Jacob.
Hey, Jacob.
Hey, guys. Thanks for thank you for being the reason that I get nothing done at work. It's not on us, is it?
No, that's your work ethic, mate.
I do go into his office and just sweep everything off the desk, so.
Absolutely, yeah.
Maybe that's what he's referring to. I'm a huge fan of both the Sherlock Holmes movies and the Sherlock Holmes television series. So I wanted to know, who do you think is a better Sherlock, RDJ or Benedict Cumberbatch? Also, can I be the official Thomas Wayne of the podcast? Thanks for the great laughs and keep up the great work.
Yes, incidentally, because mm-hmm. you talked about Thomas Wayne at the podcast.
Yeah.
Granted, obviously. But I was walking down the street the other day and I saw a mum and a dad and a little kid, and he was wearing a hoodie with a Batman logo on it, and it said Batman in Training. And I'm like, ooh, you're gonna miss those guys. Oh boy. Didn't think that one through, parents.
Did you ever consider that was your moment? You should have killed his parents.
I should have killed his parents.
Next time.
Yeah, next time, I guess. Yeah.
What if it was Superman in Training? Does that mean this planet's going to explode and he's going to jettison somewhere else?
Yeah, that's exactly what it means.
God, I hope I never see that.
Okay, so who is the best?
Yeah, RDJ or Benedict Cumberbatch.
Ugh.
I think it's clear that the Cumberbatch is a better Sherlock, a better adaptation of the mythology. Would you agree with that?
Some would disagree. Some would say the Moriarty characterization is way off.
Yeah,
I would agree with that, but I enjoy it nonetheless.
I think it's much. Have you seen the Sherlock movies?
I've seen the first one.
In the second one, he has a weird mind fight with Moriarty, where they have they imagine.
Oh, how I see. They go through all the possibilities, yeah. Right? Okay, yeah.
So does that count as a win or a loss?
Do they actually fist fight at the end?
No, he just flings him off a waterfall. The Rhineback falls. It's that.
Oh, the classic ending,
yeah.
Right? Well, that works in the context of the first movie, he goes through lots of possibilities in his head, right, before he executes anything.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
That kind of makes sense.
Okay.
I'd have to see it to decide how dumb it is. I mean, it's definitely dumb.
I think Sherlock Holmes 2 is better than 1.
Okay.
But I don't think they're great.
Fair enough.
I also don't think Guy Ritchie is that good a director.
Also fair enough.
Mm. He's got some good stuff, but yeah. It's a bit of a...
He's fallen off a little.
Yeah, and it's kind of like a bit of a one-trick pony. He was initially. He's definitely changed. And also, he did Swept Away with Madonna, so let's not forget that.
Right. There's a really good sequence in the first one where he has to... Like, he's chasing somebody through the streets and he dresses up as an old lady and he does all sorts of...
I think you're thinking of Van Helsing.
I'm never thinking of Van Helsing.
Yeah, that hat.
Yeah. Look, I think they're both completely valid interpretations of the character.
Not terrible either. But which one, what do you want to see? Sherlock Christmas special set in Victorian era or Robert Downey Jr. have another mind fight?
Oh, the former. Okay. See, that being said, though, of the Sherlocks that I have seen, the British BBC series, I really enjoyed the first season. I thought the first two episodes of season two was total garbage and was redeemed by the third one.
What was that? What were those two? I don't even know.
It was...
the dog one?
No.
Ghost Dog?
No, it wasn't Ghost Dog.
You know that one I'm talking about, though.
Hound of the Baskervilles.
Yes, Ghost Dog.
There was the one where... One of them was the one where he meets his opposite number and she's clearly in love with him. If you remember the one and her phone is locked... And he can't discover the combination, but then her phone is Sherlocked.
Yeah.
That was because she's in love with him.
I remember now.
Garbage. What a garbage episode. Anyway, I've only seen a little bit of season three.
Okay.
It was fine.
All right. Fair enough.
But good. Solid work.
Yeah.
Good work, everyone.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Hey, guys. I'm Augusto from Argentina.
Also, Martin Freeman's great.
Isn't he?
Yeah.
And they're both going to be in a Marvel movie. Yeah, it's all happening. I'm Augusto from Argentina. I wanted to share with you an article that I just came across.
Do you think there'll be a Doctor Strange Iron Man butting heads with an oblique reference to them both being Sherlock Holmes?
I hope so.
Me too. Okay, continue.
It allegedly comes from the Sony hack, and it's a list of mandatory character traits for Peter Parker and Spider-Man from a 2011 contract between Sony and Marvel.
Oh, yes.
So basically, this was released online. Whether or not this is true or not, obviously it's part of the hack or might be part of the hack.
Here we go.
So these are the character traits of Spider-Man.
I'm ready.
It's nothing too controversial, but I think it goes to show that Marvel and Sony had a particular idea when casting Peter Parker. All right, Spider-Man.
He's exactly like Tobey Maguire. End of email. Brackets, follow-up email. We'll also take Andrew Garfield. No other options.
Just the hair.
Yeah.
Whether Peter Parker or an alternative Spider-Man character must always strictly conform to the following mandatory character traits.
Here we go.
Male.
All right.
It's not
really a trait, but all right.
Does not torture. I'm fairly certain he pinned that Sandman against the side of a train and grayed his face off.
Yeah, he did, yeah.
Does not kill unless in self-defense.
Yeah, fair enough.
Unless defense of self or others. Yep. Does not use foul language beyond PG-13. No F and C's, mate.
Oh, sure, no F and C's, yeah.
Does not smoke tobacco.
Mm-hmm.
Does not sell...
and then it's brackets wacky.
Does not sell / distribute illegal drugs.
Was that ever a danger?
Does not...
Some of these Spider-Man like treatments or like pictures must have gone way off the rails.
Maybe.
Okay. So here's the deal. We got Peter Parker. He's just a kid in school, but he also deals ecstasy at raves. What?
Does not abuse alcohol.
All right.
Does not have sex before the age of 16. Does not have sex with anyone under the age of 16.
Does not engage in dance sequences of any kind. Does not play weird jazz piano in jazz bars or any other bars.
Does not accidentally hit his fiancée in a jazz bar. Last one is not a homosexual, brackets, unless Marvel has portrayed that alter ego as a homosexual.
What? What?
Yeah, I mean, I guess that's all those things fit.
Look, we're against the gays unless Stan Lee says it's okay and then it's fine.
There's also got depictions of Peter Parker or his Spider-Man alter ego must conform to the following character traits. This goes on.
Oh boy.
His full name must be Peter Benjamin Parker.
Okay.
He is Caucasian and a heterosexual. So all that stuff about them being open to casting outside of race was clearly not.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah, I still think we could get a Miles Morales at some point. His parents become absent from his life during childhood. Yes.
Yes.
But also don't bring them back in flashbacks. They should have that.
They should, yeah.
Flashbacks or flash forwards.
Yeah, not an overly complicated plot.
They shouldn't have a train that you access underground with coins you found in a calculator.
Unless that has already happened in a comic book version.
From the time his parents became absent, he was raised by Aunt May and Uncle Ben in New York. He gained his powers while attending either middle school or college. He gained his powers from being bitten by a spider. He designs his first red and blue costume. Does it really matter whether he designs it? I guess so.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's not a deal breaker, is it? The black costume is a symbiote and not designed by him. He's raised in a middle-class household in Queens, New York. He attends or attended high school in Queens, New York, and he attends or attended a college in New York City, New York. There you go.
So New York is a deal breaker there. It's got
to
be.
Correct. It has to be.
It just says at every 10 minutes, Peter Parker must be at the top of a bridge yelling, I love New York.
Forget about it.
Forget about it.
Yeah, look, none of that is surprising to me.
Not at all.
So, you know, that is what it is.
Yeah.
I don't think they were. Yeah. Look, as much as they said, yeah, we're open to whatever.
They would definitely not want to open to whatever. Yeah.
Yeah, sure. Look, you know, we'll see what they do. But I think there is room for a character's alternative Spider-Mans. I want to see more of that.
Yeah,
unless
totally.
This Peter Parker is just mind-blowing. I don't...
Yeah, I mean, we did see, because there was the Spider-Verse storyline.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, with any luck...
drinking water.
They can maybe draw from that pool of alternate Spider-Mans and go, okay, well, that we want that one. I would like to see Spider-Gwen.
I was going
to
say, a lot Spider-Gwen of people saying Spider-Gwen, great, yeah. Mm-hmm. It's a shame they wasted Emma Stone, didn't they?
Yeah, but she can come back. That's what I'm saying. Parallel universe.
Oh, yeah. But then you got to introduce parallel universes.
Yeah.
You can do that, though, I guess.
I mean, they introduced the Venom symbiote as it just fell out of the sky.
Yeah.
And we don't need to explain that. So I guess they could just go, hey, look, Gwen's come through a portal.
Yeah.
It's fine. Here
that's
she
a
is.
Broom cupboard? Maybe. Yep. Doesn't matter.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's the show for this week. I've got any minigun thoughts, but we covered that, didn't
covered
we?
Covered minigun thoughts,
God,
exactly.
We're so good at podcasting.
Minigun minutes. I'm going to make this a regular segment, minigun minute.
Absolutely. Where can people find us?
They can find us at Weekly Planet Pod on Twitter and Gmail and Facebook and Bandcamp.
Correct.
Where we have our movie commentaries.
That's right. We'll probably do a Terminator 2 one soon, hopefully.
Yeah.
Also, if you follow
that'll have a minigun minute. You better believe it.
Yeah.
How many casualties?
0.0.
0.0. He's done it again.
What was I going to say? Also, the Weekly Planet, at the Weekly Planet on Twitter, is a good guy to follow as well, because he's all over that. So that
he knows more about us than we do.
Correct.
Suspicious? Definitely.
Do we mind?
Not at
really.
All. Nah, it's fine.
Okay. Also,
if you want to support the show,
patreon.com/MrSundayMovies. Correct.
Thank you to everyone who does.
Yeah.
Or who just listens. It's fine.
Yeah, either way.
We got real jobs. It's fine. We don't need your money.
That was a real backhand cut, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Also, Brute and the Basilisk for the themes.
Absolutely,
we kind of
forget
to thank them.
Yeah.
You can find me on Mr. Sunday Movies on Twitter and YouTube and Facebook.
I'm at Wikipedia Brown. We got a lot of stuff to say at the end of these.
Maybe we'll do... You know what we're going to do next week?
What's that?
Terminator movies.
Yeah, okay. Let's talk about them.
Let's bloody get into it.
Yeah.
Thoughts? Good miniguns?
Have we talked about Terminators before?
Not at great length.
Okay, great.
This would be a good
one. Talk, yeah, let's talk about them at great length.
Especially when we get to 3 and 4.
Oh, I'm going to have to rewatch them, aren't I?
No.
Because I don't. Oh, no, I'm going to have to.
You don't have to watch 1 and 2 again.
No, they're in here. They're ingrained.
Locked.
All right, yeah.
All right. Thanks, everybody.
Well, grab Dab Jam, guys. Bye.
Bye.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.